Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at mood.com with promo code SPECIALIST with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALIST with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALIST when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
All righty, Survivor Specialist. Whoa, Amazing Race Specialist.
Those two, but.
Yeah, close. It's Survivor Specialist channel, but hey, we are here and ready to talk episode 6 of The Amazing Race. And it was very classic Amazing Race, but I feel like I had some, there were some emphasis in this episode that I was very confused about. And the first thing is they kept referencing, you have 10 euro for this leg of the race, 10 euro for this leg of the race. And I thought something would come of that, but nothing did the entire episode. And
never did.
I understand them doing it like with one couple because they used to do it all the time. So I feel like now that they stopped letting us know, it feels weird that they do if they overly let us know about the money they have for the leg of the race. We've heard it a few times in these past episodes of like one person saying, oh, you have X for this leg of the race. But now we had like four people this episode say, you have 10 euros.
Every time they opened up the clue at start, they said, you have 10 euro for this leg of the race. And they didn't really need it because it was self-driving. So I don't even know what they spent it on.
Like souvenirs and ice cream?
I guess so. I mean, Tucker and Eric could have made another stop for ice cream on this.
Alrighty. So we are back to leaving with times this episode. Tucker and Eric start the day off at 8:58 in the morning. Then Kyland and Taylor are at 9:24, so about a half an hour behind them, a little less. Shortly behind are Jag and Jass at 9:32, and then Joseph and Adam at 10:08. And this is kind of where we get our first chunk of teams, and then they're navigating to where they find the clue for the detour before we even touch the other group of teams, which I found weird because Natalie and Stephanie, they left at 10:29, and they kind of had their own group as well. And then we had the three of Jack and Chelsea at 11:29, Izzy and Paige 11:47, and Christina and Rubina 12:55.
12:55 is crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. What?
Yeah. I knew from the start of this episode, no way they are making any of that up.
No. No shot. And I don't often pay attention to the start times because I know that you're going to provide them. So, and it makes it better that I don't, because then from the start, I figure that these two would go home anyway. But like, then you know for sure, like they have
you really know.
You really know they have no shot.
So I was just surprised that they broke it up the way they did. I figured why not just put Natalie and Stephanie in with that group, especially since they meet up with Joseph and Adam at the roadblock. But anywho, they separated it out a little bit.
They did, in contrast to last week where they like sped through everybody starting off the leg. And then in this episode, you still had people halfway into the episode, pretty much. We just saw them opening up their clue to start the leg. So it was very different than last week.
Yeah. So they had to make their way to the Neptune Arboreum. And this is where they find their clue for the detour, which is either bag it up or pull it up. In bag it up, they have to fill a wheelbarrow with salt, then fill and seal bags, and then weigh the bags. And it has to be between 20 and 21 pounds. And then there's pull it up, grab 3 strands of oysters, and bring it to a local restaurant.
Yeah, so I thought the whole time that we would do bag it up. What are your thoughts on bag it up?
It's a lot of muscle, but if you've got that muscle,
I have plenty of experience shoveling stuff into a wheelbarrow.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. Yeah,
the hardest part about this really would be the ceiling. That's the only part that I think would get us, because Tucker somehow in his insane life that he's had has experience with a bag sealing machine, which I thought was just hilarious.
I was like, why are we getting this confessional of Tucker saying, I think that's going to trip some teams up? And then what do you know? That tripped teams up.
Yes, and I figured, I was like, the rest of this challenge seems like super straightforward. Yeah, it requires muscle, but relatively straightforward. But the sealer, that's something that, you know, hardly anybody has experience with. And pull it up, we could probably do that, but it the rowing tripped
so
up
easy.
Yeah,
in theory, like
in theory,
that was that. So the two challenges are grunt in bag it up, and then the this seems easy, let's do this one. And then you have Kylan, who like can't row, or Natalie and Stephanie, who are standing up and rowing.
Standing up, yeah. And the other part that factored in maybe is that the weather was really bad in this episode. Like, it was raining a lot. And I don't know what the weather was, but like, there could have been a thunderstorm. If there's any chance of thunder, like, that water challenge is getting delayed or can't. So like, not even, I'm sure that they had some sort of like backup plan in that case, but I was like, let's just not even worry about that. Let's just go for the grunt.
Yeah. We have had a lot of like these heavy lifting kind of grunt challenges that favor the male teams, because they do all, you know, go for these grunt challenges and knock them out pretty well. Do you think that this is unfair? Do you think that they need to add other elements of detours? Because there have been a lot of like grin and bear it options.
Yeah, we had the carry the net last week. I don't know. I haven't found it to be like any different than it usually is.
Right.
From other seasons where, you know, like last week there was the fish cutting challenge. I'm a bad challenge designer, so I don't know like what kind of other, like what are some like tactical things that you could do, or like something.
So like there's like the like dancing slide or the rhythm or something.
I remember one of my favorites from a few seasons ago was the motorcycle decal challenge, where they had to like paint and like touch up the side of a motorcycle, which that mm-hmm. could be a really good one too. Something where maybe you have to like fix something up. You have to sew something or buff something or do something that is not carry this thing and bring it to another place mm-hmm. because we had the net last week. We had this.
I wonder if it's just because of the locations they're in, because they tailor the challenges toward the locations that they're in.
Yeah.
So maybe they need to look at more of like the arts side of some of
the arts. We've had one dance challenge.
And then we had the memorize the towns.
Yes. In the bar. Yeah.
So there have been a bunch of like those restaurant challenges we've seen as detours in the past too.
Because this one, we had the real grunt side, and mm-hmm. then you had the one that seemed easy, but even that was rowing, and that can require a lot of muscle. Mm-hmm. So these were two very physical challenges in this detour.
Yeah. So the teams that went into Bag It Up are Tucker and Eric, Jag and Jas, Joseph and Adam, Izzy and Paige, Jack and Chelsea. Izzy and Paige had trouble with the sealer, as well as Jag and Jas missed a bag, mm-hmm. and so did Jack and Chelsea. They were all kind of hitting the weight mark, no problem, because they mm-hmm. had the scale to check it. Mm-hmm. But the sealer was giving them issues, and I feel like for Izzy and Paige, they were like sealing it and then immediately trying to rip the hot plastic away from itself so that it was breaking. I think they just needed to give it a second to like cool and harden before they picked it up to move.
They really struggled with that, and I don't know what the proper technique was. One change that I think I would have made to this mm-hmm. detour is you can only weigh one time. So you fill up a bag, you can weigh it, but you need to count how many spoonfuls that was.
Yeah.
And that's the only time that you get to weigh. The rest of the time you have to eyeball.
You have to at least make another trip. And you have to make a trip.
Yeah, true. Maybe one weigh per trip that you make. I think that would have caused some.
Yeah, because I was like, ooh, they have only a 1 pound difference
margin
that they need to make it in. That's pretty tough. And then they were just able to like
once they could weigh it, that was good.
That
there wasn't much challenge to that part of it.
And then we had Kylan and Taylor, Stephanie and Natalie, Christine and Rabina do Pull It Up. Kylan was having so much struggle. He was on the struggle bus with rowing the boat, and Stephanie and Natalie tried to do it sitting down, and they were like, you know what, let's just stand and row, and they were cruising.
Oh, they did great. Yeah, I mean, that seemed to be the strategy, because Kylan's oars looked like they kept coming out of the holder, right? There was like, you know, a slit at the top, and they were sliding out. That's what it looked like. Mm-hmm. And Natalie and Stephanie were like, forget it, we're not even gonna bother sitting down, putting them through, we're just gonna stand and do it like a paddleboard. And I thought that was a great strategy.
Get it done. It doesn't have to be correct, it just has to get you there, and it did. So hey, more power to them.
Yeah, whatever you can do to get it done.
All right, so then once they complete their side of the detour, I forgot about this part too. When they were getting the clues to go for the detour, we had a little bit of discourse between Izzy and Paige and Jack and Chelsea of trying to find the clue, because they knew they were in second to last place.
Yeah.
So they're fighting for that, you know, top spot there. That they didn't want to give up any information. Izzy and Paige found it first, and Jack and Chelsea are running all around it. Jack has his hand right on the urn and is just like, where could it be? This is crazy.
That was a wild moment.
And Jag and Jas couldn't reverse, and neither could Natalie, but then she found the one guy because they had to self-drive a manual car throughout this leg of the race.
Who would do this between you and I?
My mom knows how to drive stick, so she could teach
Caroline, me. Caroline, we need you to come over here.
I hate driving, but I'm also bad at navigation, which takes us to the roadblock that you're doing.
Okay. Like, that's not fine even with me. Yeah.
Debate. This is Kyle. So the roadblock is who knows their way around Croatia. And from that tagline, I know it's navigating throughout a city, and I'm not going to be fast enough. I am not going to remember anything. And you're just so good with facts.
I do memorize things well, I think. I thought this challenge was great, because you had the three different stations and with three questions each, and the fact that the questions would be different the next time you attempted, I thought was a great, great wrinkle to this, because we saw teams try to, hack the system and the system hacked them, as Taylor said. Yeah, I thought that this would be a fun one to do. I also thought I would probably do this one.
Good.
Having
to come back to the map if you didn't memorize where the locations are, they had this big relief map, which is like a raised version of the town, and being like, all right, you got to go to this point, and this point.
It looks
point.
Like a pandemic board.
All right. I that's just like so out of my wheelhouse. So props to Eric. He was absolutely insane the entire time.
Locked
memorizing everything to a T.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, he was so good. I was just amazed by him. Like, they blew out everybody. Like, this was we just say, like, they were in first place by forever. Mm-hmm. It felt like they are just dominating right now.
Even with an equalizer, I don't think we see a trip up between Eric and Tucker at all either. I think they are just so solidly well-rounded that
we knew that Tucker
real like
I don't great. Know yeah it will because we like we knew Tucker was good at competitions, and then his brother is just as good if not better at, so, like, it's unbelievable. Now let's talk about the other teams.
Taylor. Taylor, and then who
Jas
did it. Taylor and Jas tried to kind of game the system of, all right, I'm just going to ask the questions and see what happens, because that has been a thing in Amazing Race past of like, go memorize these things and they're going to ask you these questions at the end.
Yeah.
Or you have to like memorize this thing. They'll ask you to repeat it and you have to go back and try and do it again if you get it wrong. Taylor is like, all right, I just got to memorize these three questions. Great. All right. I'm going to run back out into the city. Then Jas tries that, gets the three questions, and then is like, wait a second.
Very, very
turns
wise.
Back around and says, all right, let's do this again. And then gets a different set of questions and knows he has to memorize the full board.
Yeah. Look, I thought that that was a good move from Taylor to, was that not written on the clue that it's going to be different every time? I guess not, because Phil said it in the instructions, but it must not have been written on their clue because, two people tried it.
But I also wouldn't put it past them to not read the clue that well.
Exactly. That was my thought.
Do that all the time, even to this day of
read your clue. There's a reason why that is like the thing in this show. Read your clue, because oftentimes people don't. So she got, oh man,
She was so distraught of like, no.
Jack
and Jess then usurped them and got to the pit stop before Taylor and Kyland. Stephanie and Adam were working together at the roadblock. And then Izzy proposed working with Jack, but Jack was like, no way, Jose, there's only one team behind us and I don't want to take any chances. And so they just pushed on and did what they needed to do. But the biggest thing, aside from the multiple questions of it all that was tripping people up, is nobody wanted to say miles, feet, whatever, like whatever measurement something was, years, whatever it was, they didn't want to put the amount, like what it was. And wouldn't you say, I don't know, how long is this? It's 250. Wouldn't you want to follow that up with feet or whatever?
Yeah. I was surprised how many people didn't say it. I was like, I don't know. It's just, it feels so unnatural. Like when you just said 250, like what? Now, I did think that they should have let it go. Because
hell no, come on, Kyle, make them work for it.
The only one was when they said, how tall is this peak? And it was 22,000 feet. And they said 22,000. And it's like, it's not miles. It's not 22,000 miles. But if you're going to do it with one, you have to do it with all, to be consistent and have them say the units. I was very shocked at how many teams got tripped up on this.
And it was, they got the exact number. And then we're just missing the unit.
Yeah.
And it's like, you remembered the unit or you remembered the exact number, but couldn't remember that it was feet or that you had to say feet.
It wasn't even in kilometers, the ones that were in miles. Like they were trying to give a layup to the Americans.
The Americans.
And they still couldn't even get it.
And then, so Rabina also eventually did this roadblock. And so my second gripe with this episode is several teams, when they ripped the clue to go to the pit stop, they emphasized may be eliminated.
Yeah.
May be eliminated usually winds up with like a non-elimination leg. And you think because the Amazing Race is done with non-elimination legs, aha, it's a twist. Someone might be saved because they have done that. But they emphasized it with so many teams and especially with Christine and Rabina that I actually had hope at the end of the episode that it was a non-elimination leg. And then Phil just goes, you're eliminated. And it made a like very classic episode of The Amazing Race just like plummet just right at the last second.
It did end with like a thud. You know what I mean? But I do think, and John just said it, one of the next two legs is going to be a non-elimination. So I think like it's sort of like, you know, if you have a ball under three cups, three cups is a ball under one, which one is it going to be? So they're setting it up. The next few legs,
are they keeping it for Jag and Jazz?
Well, it would not be the first time that Jag has been saved by a non-elimination. So you know what? maybe
that he's got to then get onto Survivor, and then someone has to get medevac, and then they skip Tribal Council.
Or we have Edge of Extinction
or Edge,
So we will get one. And they're probably just setting it up. So it's like, maybe this time, maybe the next time. We'll see. But it was like pretty disappointing for Rubina and them. And I thought it was going to be this leg, the way that Phil was looking at them and talking with them, you know.
And it's like, we knew, I would rather be surprised at the episode and like be hopeful throughout the entire, like, I don't need to be surprised that it's not a non-elimination leg or that it is. Like, I don't care that I know Christine and Rubina are going home this episode. I still enjoyed watching this episode, but it's just the fact that they were like teasing you with maybe eliminated.
Yeah. Like just, when Han
just
and
let
Holden,
me know.
Yeah. Like Han and Holden, they got saved last season by an Anolin. And I think in the clue, it said you will be eliminated. They show up to the mat and it's like, oh, this is a real surprise, not elimination. But yeah, it's this. It's like, now we know it's coming. Where it was like this. Here's a random reference. Australian Survivor. They had these scrolls or these urns that you would break as you got voted out. And one of them contained a scroll that said, come back and, you know, you're safe. Yeah. And it was like, well, you knew. It was like they were going to break them until one came. So this is the same thing. It's like, we know it's coming. Just like, let's just maybe, you know, it lessens the impact. You know what I mean?
And it's like, it's not, I'm not going to feel any different if I know at, you know, Tucker and Eric ripping open their clue may be eliminated rather than like, even if they did get saved this episode and I know based on Tucker and Eric, I'm not going to be any less like shocked or anything like that. It's still going to have the same impact on me, even if it's, I don't want the fake out. It just like ruined that for me. I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't care for it either. One other thing I thought was interesting about this episode, it was kind of wild, was that Tucker and Eric were on their way to the pit stop when Izzy and Paige opened up their clue. Like to start, like they were literally, they had gotten their clue to go to the pit stop. Like that is how big of a gap there was.
Yeah. I mean, we also hit Taylor and Kyland just coming out from Oysters and Joseph and Adam going to the salt mines, I think too, or something like that.
Yeah.
They crossed paths and said, like, oh, we just came from Oysters. We didn't do the stall. We don't know what's up over there. So Tucker and Eric, first place. Nobody is surprised. They want a trip to Egypt. Let's go. Just like your pattern predicting.
I'm telling you. Trip next money, week, 5,000.
Jag and Jas, second place. Kyland and Taylor, third place, both still have express passes. Natalie and Stephanie in fourth, Joseph and Adam fifth, Jack and Chelsea, Izzy and Paige with Christine and Rubina here in last place. I don't know. Jack and Chelsea, Izzy and Paige, I think it's going to be one of those two, and it's only going to be Izzy and Paige because of that stupid U-turn.
I mean, they got buried here, you know? Like, they can't – I don't know if they'll be able to make their way back up, especially when you have two teams.
Equalizer? I don't know.
I guess. I mean, maybe we'll get another one after this, or maybe they can survive this next one. Jack and Chelsea go, and then there's another equalizer. We'll see. They have an uphill battle.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that we didn't touch on was Natalie waiting around.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Or driving back to try and give directions to Joseph and Adam. Look, I get it from like both sides. It's like, this is your alliance. You want to do right by them as they have done by you. But this could end up costing you if you do this more. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't cost them that much time now. But like, there could come a time where we're helping them, you know, maybe it turns into a foot race at the end and they end up losing because they stayed around to help.
Izzy and Paige didn't even hit the, and Jack and Chelsea weren't even at the roadblock yet, right?
No, I don't think so. So like, this was no big deal, really.
Yeah, for me, I would have been like, well, they're not here yet. We still have a good amount of time and a good amount of lead. So I think we'll be okay. But at the same time, it's like, if you know the directions and you're literally facing the right way, I think it'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine. They were getting directions like they're, It was This wasn't a huge deal because they didn't cost them that much time. But as we start to get, you know, fewer and fewer teams, I doubt that this, you know, will continue helping each other with directions. Yeah.
So anything else that we missed, Kyle?
I don't think so. I think we touched on pretty much everything. There was like one thing that I thought I wanted to comment on, and then I forgot it. But maybe we already talked about it anyway. So.
Alrighty then. Well, okay, everyone, that has been this episode of The Amazing Race. Tune in next week for our continued coverage of this really fun game. I'm really happy how the game has picked up since the first episode. I was very skeptical because of the European adventures of it all, but it's actually become a pretty good season and I've been liking it a lot. This episode took a dip a little bit, but excited to see where the rest of the race goes.
Very excited.
Alrighty, everyone. Bye-bye.